Joshua chapter 14. Our text tonight is found in verses 6 through 15. Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. We pray that tonight thou wouldst instruct us in the way in which we should walk as we look into the instruction of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think of a title for this portion of Scripture, I guess we can't come up with anything more appropriate than simply wholly following the Lord. Here we have a portion of the life of Caleb. And as you look at the life of Caleb, you realize how little we really know about him. He is one of the better known men of the Bible, and yet we know so little about him. We know that he was a leader here of the tribe of Judah, and yet many expositors feel that he was actually of Gentile descent. His forefathers either a part of the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt, or a proselyte picked up along the way someplace. We don't know for sure, but many commentators feel that this could very well be that he actually originally was not an Israelite even, but incorporated into Israel, as was God's plan. God's plan was that people from all nations would come to Israel and join with them because of the Lord their God. When they saw how God blessed Israel and how Israel's God was the one and only true God, that these Gentiles from all over the world then would come and join with Israel. And so perhaps Caleb was of that type of background. The name Caleb, root letters are actually the same letters as of the word dog, but the vowels are different, and Gesenius feels that the name Caleb probably means rabid. Now, not in a bad sense, but the idea of rabid being perhaps the idea of one who rabidly or relentlessly persecutes or follows his enemies. And in a way, this would agree then with what is said of Caleb in six different places in Scripture, that he wholly followed the Lord. And a very literal translation of that would be that he was fully after God. He was following God to the full. Caleb was relentless in his determination to follow God in everything. And for that reason, then, we see in Numbers 14:24, 32:12, Deuteronomy 1:36, and Joshua 14:8, verses 8, 9, and 14, these six places where it is specifically said of Caleb as his testimony that he wholly followed the Lord. And so tonight we'd like to look at just two things. First of all, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? And then what are some of the consequences of wholly following the Lord? First of all, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? I think as we look at the life of Caleb, we can say, first of all, that to wholly follow the Lord means that you will see things that other people don't see. Now, in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, we see there what it was that the 10 spies that went up to spy out the land of Canaan, what it was that they saw. Numbers 13:33, the 10 spies said, there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so the 10 that would not believe God, they saw giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, what was it that Caleb saw? In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, we read, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Then note what Caleb and Joshua here said, "For their defense is departed from them." In other words, Caleb looked at these giants and said, they're big on the outside, but they're little on the inside. Their defense is departed from them. There is no character left in them to be able to stand against godliness. And so that's what Caleb saw. He saw something that the others did not see because he was wholly following the Lord. And as we wholly follow the Lord, as we obey every step of light that God gives to us, then we begin to see new light. We begin to understand new things that we did not understand before, and that those who do not follow God, are not willing to fully follow God, do not see either. Scripture begins to open up, and a possible definition, for example, of wisdom is one that we got on a little birthday card from the seminar. Wisdom is seeing the relationship between the problems of life and the principles of Scripture that are violated. And so as we fully follow God, we begin to see these relationships. Rather than just charging on and wondering what's happening to us and why, we begin to see relationships, Scripture relationships, between the problems of life and the principles that have been violated. And so as we fully follow after God, we begin seeing things that other people do not see. And begin to to see things from God's standpoint and to understand things the way that God sees them. And so the first thing that it means is that you will see things that other people do not see. Secondly, you will believe things that other people will not believe. And we see, for example, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They didn't believe God. And as a result, they wept all night long. Whereas on the contrary, we find in Numbers 14 and verse 8, the response of Joshua and Caleb, where they say, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." And so they believed God. They trusted him. for what he had promised that he would do, that he will bring us into this land. And so there is an increasing ability to trust God as we are determined to wholly follow him. And I was blessed this past week as one of the brethren shared with me the thought that I'm sure we realize is so true, but I think we just need to hear again and again that God is not only God in church, but also when we walk out these doors. And so when we get to school, God is still God. And when we get to work on our job, God is still God. He hasn't ceased to be God. He doesn't cease to be God as we walk out these doors. He is still God, and he can take care of these situations that seem so crucial and so impossible. And so Caleb and Joshua believed God. And I'm reminded of Paul's words as he was on a sinking ship. You know, what do you think about when you're on a sinking ship? Well, Paul in Acts 27:25 said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." And he was able to believe what nobody else was believing because he was wholly following the Lord. And then thirdly, you will do things that other people will not do. And we find, for example, in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 31. In verse 31, we find that the 10 spies, the men that went up with him, said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And in verse 30, we read that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." And we're not even going to wait for any kind of reinforcements or additional training. He says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And we find here that if we are wholly following God, we will do things that other people will not do. What was different about Caleb? I was interested in noting in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, something very different about Caleb that the Lord says, Numbers 14:24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath fully followed, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land." And so what was different about Caleb? He had a different spirit. My servant Caleb had another spirit with him. Caleb had a spirit of obedience before God. And it reminded me of what is said of Christ. Caleb had the spirit of Christ. And of Christ we are told in Psalm 40 and verse 7, repeated also in Hebrews 10 verse 7, "Behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And so the testimony of Christ, we read, "I delight to do thy will." And this was the testimony of Caleb, a delight in doing the will of God. In John 8:29, we read the testimony of the Lord Jesus, "I do always those things that please the Father," a spirit of obedience, doing things that other people will not do. I was blessed recently while in Chicago of hearing some of the reports of the seminar, Institute in Basic Youth Conflicts, and one of the things that was mentioned was a tremendous blessing to me of the way in which the desire of the seminar is to put into practice every principle of Scripture that God teaches us. And it's a real thrill to work in that kind of an organization where the determination is to do the will of God and to do that which we learn in Scripture, that which they learn in Scripture. And they shared with us at that time how in one of the seminars a very difficult situation came up. The seminar was scheduled, the time of the auditorium was signed for the lease for that week of meetings. When the seminar became aware of a difficulty that had come up, several years before, a large, influential convention had inquired about that auditorium. And their inquiry had been penciled into the date book, but years had gone by and they had not confirmed those dates. Now, all of a sudden, after the seminar had was scheduled for those dates, this large convention made it known that they were planning on those dates in that auditorium. And the manager didn't know what to do. As he checked it out, he found that this large organization was determined that if they could not get those dates in that auditorium, they would reschedule their convention for some other city. The word then came through the powers that be of the city that if that should happen, since that would be a tremendous financial loss to the city, it would ruin that city to lose that convention, that if that should happen, the manager of the auditorium would lose his job for that little mistake. Word got back to the seminar, and after doing a little checking around, they found there was another auditorium not too far from there. And as they checked it out, they found that that auditorium just happened to have that very week open. And so they checked back with the manager and offered to change the seminar over to this other city, nearby city, in this other auditorium in order to save his job. He was dumbfounded and afterwards wrote a letter to the seminar saying how much he appreciated their concern for his well-being when he recognized that they had every right to demand that week. They legitimately had that week. They had every right to demand it, and he would have no recourse at all. He closed with a statement, "You certainly live the message that you preach." What a thrill that is. Those who wholly follow God do things that other people don't do. Then what are the consequences? Well, this is the other side of it. Consequences of wholly following the Lord. Now, perhaps the first consequence we can mention is that if you're determined to wholly follow the Lord, you're going to be a minority. You can plan on that. How many spies did not wholly follow the Lord? Well, there were 10. How many did? There were 2. And so the ratio there was 10-2 against those who wholly follow the Lord. The Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, "Fear not, little flock." And this is very characteristic, that the flock of God is a little flock, those who are determined to wholly follow the Lord. Nevertheless, it's interesting how it finishes. "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So don't worry about that. You may be the little flock, but you're going to get the kingdom. And so you can plan on being a minority. Now, many times in this nation of ours, because of the freedom we have, we don't always feel like a minority. Not like in some places in the world. I read this past week of Christians in Russia and the persecution there. And once they take their stand and are baptized in testimony of their profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that many times, or most of the time, they cannot go on into higher education. They are only allowed to take menial kinds of jobs. Good jobs are prohibited for them. If they're determined to teach their children the ways of God, their children are taken away from them and put into institutions. And so they begin to realize that they are indeed a little flock, they are indeed a minority. But even here in this land, as we are determined to wholly follow the Lord, sooner or later we're going to find what kind of a minority we actually are. You begin to sense that you are a minority. And the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, even amongst the Israelites, who were supposed to be the people of God, found themselves to be a minority. The second thing, not only you will be a minority, but you will suffer with the minority. Now, this is a rather unpleasant thing. Do you know that Caleb and Joshua lost 38 years of their lives in the desert because of the disobedience of the other people? They were ready to go in and take the promised land. They said, "Let's go in." They pleaded with them, "Don't rebel against the Lord. Let's go in. The Lord is with us. We can take them." And they pleaded with them without any results. And as a result, we find here that they suffered with them. They spent 38 years of their lives in the desert with these people. And that was interesting to me as I read the portion here that Caleb said in Joshua 14:8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Wasn't that gracious? You know, he could have said, "Nevertheless, those scoundrels, then I suffered 38 years because of them." He says so graciously, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt." And so you will suffer with the majority, even though you are determined to wholly follow the Lord yourself. But just as Jesus said, "Fear not, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," you have the assurance that your inheritance is sure. Isn't it exciting how God kept Caleb alive and well for another 45 years to enable him to enter into the inheritance that he'd promised to him? And so I suppose that you can say, you will suffer with the majority, but you will not suffer like the majority. They all died in the wilderness, but Caleb and Joshua went into the promised land. And so Caleb really didn't lose a thing. In a way, yes, he was delayed 45 years. But on the other hand, he said, "You know, God has given me strength, and I am just as strong today as I was 45 years ago." Isn't that great? He didn't really lose a thing. And besides that, he gained some patience. Hebrews 10:36 tells us you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The thing we don't like about this is that sometimes between doing the will of God and receiving the promise, there's more time than what we planned on. We get the idea that doing the will of God and receiving the promise is just, you know, one thing right after another. Caleb found out that 45 years passed between doing the will of God and bringing the report of faith and receiving the promise that the land that God had said would be his. And so the promise that God gave to Caleb is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36. And there he tells Caleb, says, "Caleb, the ground that you walked on is going to be yours." And so Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36, 35, "Surely there shall none of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." So God said to Caleb, "I'm going to give you the land that you walked on." Now, what was the land that he walked on? God did not give Caleb all of Palestine. And so some commentators feel that the spies divided up the land that they walked on, and they didn't all go every place. And there is some confirmation, I believe, to that. For example, in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 22. Numbers chapter 14, I'm sorry, 13 and verse 22. Verse 21 says, "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Sin unto Rahab, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron." Now, if you will check this word out in the Hebrew, you will find that the word there is singular. 21 is plural, "So they went up and searched the land." But verse 22 says, "And he ascended by the south and came unto Hebron." Now, some commentators say, well, there's probably a mistake, and some copyists there made a mistake, and it should be "they." I don't think so. When it says "he came unto Hebron," I think it means specifically that. And it means that Caleb came unto Hebron, and that Caleb spied out Hebron all by himself. Now, I don't know why Caleb spied out Hebron all by himself. The rest of the spies knew that Hebron was a land of giants, and I don't know if they were just picking out where each one is going to go, and Caleb said, "Give me the giants." But anyway, Caleb was the one that spied out Hebron. And so God said to Caleb, "The ground that you walked on, the area that you spied out, that's the one I'm going to give to you." And so Caleb spied out Hebron, and that was what God promised to him. Now, the name Hebron means fellowship. And this is very significant, that this was the inheritance of Caleb. Caleb's inheritance was fellowship. And he fully, wholly followed the Lord, and his inheritance was fellowship. Isn't that interesting? Your fellowship increases as you wholly follow the Lord. And this was the place that God had specially reserved for Caleb. And so your inheritance is sure. You may have to suffer with those who do not fully follow God, but you won't suffer like they do, because your inheritance will be sure. God has promised it to you, and he will give it to you. And the fourth thing, fourth consequence of wholly following the Lord, is you will be a blessing. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 11. Numbers 32 and verse 11, we read the following words: "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Why? "Because they have not wholly followed me." Interesting that just the very opposite is said of these other men. They did not wholly follow the Lord, and as a result, they brought judgment upon themselves, and they could not go into the land. But regarding Joshua and Caleb, we read in verse 12, "Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." And so, if you have wholly followed the Lord, you will be a blessing, because it was Joshua and Caleb that were used of God to bring the other Israelites, the new generation, into the promised land. The others did not wholly follow the Lord. They died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord, and they were the only two, 20 years and older, that went into the promised land. They were used of God to lead the people of God into their inheritance. And so as you wholly follow the Lord, God will use you to bring other people into their inheritance. You will be a blessing as God uses you, as you wholly follow the Lord. Now, Caleb then, the man who wholly followed the Lord, lived in the place of fellowship. He was used of God, and he was in fellowship with God. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, it does not say here that Caleb was all out for God. This is a phrase that sometimes we use, and I don't know if it's really a scriptural phrase. it doesn't say that Caleb was all out for God. Because I rather get the feeling that a man can be all out for God and yet neglect fellowship with God. But to wholly follow the Lord, you can't do that without being in fellowship with Him. How are you going to follow Him if you don't know where He's going? And so I believe it's a very different thing to wholly follow the Lord on the one hand, or to be all out for God on the other. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He lived in fellowship with God. And in Joshua chapter 21, we find that the city of Hebron itself was given to the Levites to be a city of refuge. Now, I thought that's interesting, and then it very specifically says afterwards, but all of these villages round about were the possession of Caleb and his family, his descendants. So here was Hebron with all of its villages round about, and the city itself given to the Levites. Now, the Levites were the teachers of Scripture. They were the ones that were responsible to teach the things of God to the people. Wasn't that appropriate? Caleb, who was wholly following God, God gave him his own private team of instructors to live in his midst. And the Levites there, the ones that knew and possessed and taught the Word of God, then lived right in the very middle of the inheritance of Caleb. And so he not only had fellowship himself with the Lord through the Word, but even the teachers of the Word living right there in the midst of his possession. Fellowship of God, with God then is central for those who would wholly follow the Lord. Now, today it's a very popular thing to be all out for God. But being all out for God kind of gives me the idea of like Peter chopping off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And then the Lord had to go and heal it again and put it back on, or made him a new one, I don't know. I often wondered about that. It says Peter chopped off the ear, and then it says the Lord touched it and healed him. I wonder if somebody found the other ear later lying in the ground. Man, you may have a good sermon there, the man with three ears. But I think being all out for God sometimes can just be a lot of chopping off of ears. Being all out for God can be like King Saul, who tried to liquidate the Gibeonites, contrary to what Scripture says. Being all out for God can be as Paul refers to the Jews. He says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Because all out for God does not require fellowship with God, but to wholly follow the Lord is very different. I get the picture there of something like Ananias, for example. And the Lord says, Ananias, I want you to go talk with Saul, who later became Paul. And Ananias says, Lord, I've heard about him. He says, that's all right, you go talk to him. He's praying now. Ananias went. He wholly followed the Lord, obeyed the Lord, and was used of the Lord to minister to the Apostle Paul. And so maybe this is what God would challenge our hearts with today, this kind of a ministry. This fruitful trip that in the life of Ananias was a result of fellowship with the Lord. The holy following of God is based on a deep fellowship with God. And so in our lives, may this, by the grace of God, be a week of deep fellowship with God, resulting in a holy following of God, and being God's instrument then of ministering, leading other people into their inheritance with God. So we bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you at this time for the example of these men of God of days gone by. We thank you, Father, for the testimony of Caleb and how he wholly followed the Lord. And this is the desire of our hearts this week. We desire to wholly follow you. We recognize, Father, that as a result there will be some consequences. But we praise you for this and look forward to the joy of this kind of a life, the example of which you've given to us in this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.